The Place the Body Calls Home. Written by Anodymalion. Narrated by Rhea314. Fandom, The Summer Hikaru Died. Rating, TNNIP Audiences, no archive warning supply. Relationship, Hikaru, fake Indo Hikaru, / Tsujinaka Yoshiki. None of them speak on the drive back from the hospital. The radio blares to life when the car first starts, a too cheerful song playing too loud, before Kurebayashi fumbles it off. After that, she doesn't try to turn it back on, or start a conversation. All they have to accompany them is the motion of the car bumping along the road, the flash of streetlights throwing shadows across their faces, and Hikaru, who wants to shrivel up and die. He knows it's really bad this time, because Kurebayashi didn't even tell him to put his seatbelt on. She's too distracted, gripping the steering wheel like she thinks it'll run away from her if she lets it go. Yoshiki sits on the other side of the back seat, slouched over himself, looking out the window. He said at most a half dozen words since they arrived at the hospital 2 hours ago. Hikaru stares at him, at the angle of Yoshiki's cheek illuminated by the passing traffic. The empty space inside him hurts. He reaches out tentatively for Yoshiki's hand. As soon as their fingers touch, Yoshiki flinches and jerks his hand away. Hikaru's guts scrunch up tight inside him. He leans into the door, away from Yoshiki, trying not to make a sound. He stays like that for the rest of the drive, pressed into the corner of the seat, as if that might make him small enough not to be a threat. Every few minutes, he catches Kurebayashi's eyes on him in the rearview mirror, flickering away as soon as he looks. Yoshiki just stares out his window, saying nothing, his hands folded rigidly in his lap. The bruise on his arm is a black smudge in the darkness. When the car stops in front of Yoshiki's house, they all sit there, motionless, holding a collective breath. The engine idles underneath them. "Yoshiki?" Hikaru says quietly. Yoshiki startles and sits up straight. He doesn't look at Hikaru as he moves, just gets out of the car and shuts the door. The breath seizes in Hikaru's chest. He scrambles for the door handle, but before he can open it, Kurebayashi turns in her seat to face him. "I'll drive you home." "It's only a couple minutes' walk." "I'll drive you," she says again, more firmly, and this time he doesn't argue. The car starts moving again. Hikaru twists around to stare out the rear window as they pull away, the shape of Yoshiki receding into the darkness behind them. Then they turn, and Yoshiki is gone. Neither he nor Kurebayashi say anything as they drive down the narrow lane. Hikaru's whole body aches. Not a physical pain exactly, but something sharp underneath his skin, contracting each time he looks back at the empty road behind them. Kurebayashi's eyes are on him in the mirror again. He shivers and presses his head against the window. After a minute, she pulls up in front of his house with a sigh. "Here you are." The lights are on inside. Hikaru stares at them, unmoving, until Kurebayashi gently clears her throat. He blinks several times, fast. Then he opens the door and slides out, mumbling a half-hearted thank you. "Hikaru," she says. He turns back to her. Kurebayashi watches him with a grim expression. Her grip on the steering wheel is now so tight that her knuckles have gone white. She opens her mouth, then closes it again, like she's thought better of whatever it was she was going to say. Frowns, opens her mouth again. "Get home safe," she tells him. Hikaru's stomach lurches. He looks away and shuts the car door. After she's gone, he stands in the dark outside his house and stares at the glow of the lights within. All around him, creatures chirp. A chorus of night insects and the breeze that winds through the garden chimes. Hikaru doesn't move to go inside. doesn't move at all, except to take slow, shaky breaths. The pointlessness of it all strikes him. Air in, air out, taking oxygen he doesn't even need. The ache in his body rumbles louder. It started in the car, or maybe at the hospital, or maybe back at the cave, a buzzing pain stuck inside him, getting worse the longer it goes on. When Hikaru tries to pin the feeling down, it slides out of his grasp, making him squirm and scratch at his body like it's an itch he can't get out. He knows he messed up bad. He saw the way they looked at him when they were sitting in the hospital waiting room. Kurebayashi so sad. Yoshiki so dead-eyed and empty that he might as well have not been seeing Hikaru at all. Does Yoshiki hate him now? Yoshiki flinching away from him, getting out of the car without a word. Hikaru wraps his arms around his chest with a moan. From somewhere inside the house comes the faint sound of the TV playing. Probably his mom watching the news, waiting for him to get back. Only, she's not really waiting for him, is she? The boy she's actually waiting for is never coming home. The distinction hasn't seemed that important before, but now the buzz is in Hikaru's chest, in his throat, filling up his limbs. What would happen if she knew the real Hikaru was dead? Would she be like that girl's mom in the hospital, broken, sobbing with a pain he doesn't understand? Another thing Hikaru has messed up just by being here. Another thing he's done wrong, 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 wrong. His guts writhe inside him, threatening to come loose. Hikaru whines and squeezes his arms harder around himself, as if that might help keep them inside. Furiously, he berates himself. He's not supposed to leak out anymore. He's supposed to be better than that. He sinks down onto his knees, clenching his body tight, and stays there, shaking, until the urge passes. That desperate hunger inside him claws at his skin. Yoshiki. He wants so badly to see Yoshiki. Hikaru turns back towards the road, staring wild-eyed through the darkness. The empty night stares back at him. He waits there, half-crouched in the dirt, until he's sure he isn't about to come apart. Then he picks himself off the ground and stumbles back up the lane toward Yoshiki's house. The front door is unlocked when he tries it. He slides it open and steps inside. Each movement is mindless, automatic, closing the door, taking off his shoes, walking down the hall. Back in the kitchen, he can hear voices talking. None of them are Yoshiki's, so he ignores them and heads for the stairs instead. He's halfway down the hall when the kitchen door opens and Yoshiki's mom leans out. Her frown relaxes slightly as she sees him. "Oh, Hikaru, you might want to come back tomorrow. Yoshiki said he wasn't feeling too well." "He left his phone in the car," Hikaru says, or something like that. He isn't really paying attention to whatever lie comes out of his mouth, so long as it's enough to get him past this obstacle and up the stairs. Yoshiki's mom says something to him in response, but he's already climbing up, ignoring whatever half of the conversation is happening behind him. She doesn't come after him. That's good. He thinks that if she tries to stop or grab him, he's going to leak out of his body after all, and if he ends up killing her, then Yoshiki will definitely never ever forgive him. He makes it to the top floor, still in one piece. The door to Yoshiki's room is closed. Hikaru places one hand on the doorknob, his insides twisting up, and opens it. It's dark, lights off, curtains drawn to block out even the moonlight. A Yoshiki-shaped lump lies hunched beneath the blankets on the bed. The lump moves as the door creaks open, pulling away from the light that pours in from the hall. It mumbles weakly, "I told you I'm not hungry." Hikaru steps inside and shuts the door behind him. In the darkness, Yoshiki stirs and turns to look at him. As soon as he sees Hikaru there, he cringes, squeezing his eyes shut, as if the thought of Hikaru in his room is too awful to bear. A fresh wave of pain worms through Hikaru's guts. "Hikaru." Yoshiki says. His voice is raspy. I really can't do this right now. But I just need to know if you hate me. But it sounds too pathetic to say that out loud. Hikaru says, looking down at the floor. I just want to make sure you're all right. Yoshiki doesn't respond to that. In the silence that follows, Hikaru wrings his hands together, glancing desperately around in case somehow there's something in the room that will help him. He bites the inside of his lip. Cause, it's okay now. That girl's okay. I mean, they said she'll survive, right? Another long silence. Yoshiki not moving or looking at him, just lying still on the bed. After a while, Yoshiki rolls away to face the wall. I don't expect you to understand. The ache in Hikaru's body contracts again, then expands, blooming outward from the center of his chest. He understands enough. He understands that killing humans is bad, in the same dispassionate way he understands that 1 + 1 = 2. He understands that it upsets Yoshiki, and upsetting Yoshiki is one of the things Hikaru never wants to do. He hasn't tried to kill anyone since Asako, because he knows these things. He didn't even mean to hurt the girl in the cave, it was just the wish. He can't explain the frenzy of it, how right then nothing else mattered, not any human notions, and not Hikaru's desire for souls, and not even Yoshiki himself. Someone needed Hikaru, and that need was the only thing to exist in the world, a drive so all-consuming that Hikaru could have, would have, used Yoshiki as a conduit instead, if only the spirit in the head hadn't stopped him. That thought solidifies, burrows deep down next to his heart. He would have hurt Yoshiki. Even after all the times that Hikaru has promised he wouldn't, he still would have, because he simply couldn't have stopped himself. Because that's what Hikaru is? A thing that just hurts and kills? I'm sorry, he says. But even he knows how deficient it must sound without the right emotions to back it up. Sorry, but not sorry in the right way. A tremor runs all the way up his spine. He digs his fingernails into his arms, shaking with the effort needed to hold his body together. Would the words be more believable if he felt what humans felt, if he knew instinctively what it was like to live and die and love and hurt and grieve? He tries to speak again, to explain, but can't manage anything more than another useless sorry. Yoshiki just stares at the wall. Hikaru takes one hesitant step towards him. He squeaks out, "You're mad at me." "I'm not." "You are," Hikaru says. "You won't even look at me." Yoshiki's shoulders tense. After a moment, he rolls back over to face Hikaru. And that's even worse, somehow, because Yoshiki doesn't look angry. Hikaru could understand it if Yoshiki was angry, but Yoshiki's eyes are blank, that same empty stare he had in the hospital, not even looking at Hikaru, really, but at something far off in the distance. "I'm not mad at you," Yoshiki speaks, slowly, monotonously. "It ain't your fault. I made the wish. I knew what you were when I did it. I'm the one responsible for hurting her." "What?" This doesn't make sense. It was Hikaru who came through the hole. But Yoshiki is talking over him, faster now, like the dam that held back all his words since the cave is finally broken, everything pouring out of him in a flood. "That guy even warned us, and I still did it anyway. Because I'm selfish. I'm bad. I only care about myself. I knew that other people would get hurt, and it didn't matter to me. I still chose to..." Yoshiki gasps and wraps his arms around his head. He says, It's my fault. You should have killed me back when I asked you to.
What?
It echoes through Hikaru's insides, louder and louder.
What? What? What?
Frenzied panic shearing through his ribs. He's breathing too fast. His legs are weak, incapable of holding him up. And then all of him is weak, oozing away from him, his insides boiling over and erupting through his tenuous grasp. He's leaking everywhere, which is the one thing Hikaru told himself he wasn't going to do, but trying to hold it back is just making it worse. All the disgusting parts of him spilling out onto the floor, against the walls and the desk and up in the air, folding into himself, convulsing. He tries to apologize again, for doing this, for the girl in the cave, for being what he is. But he doesn't have a mouth to speak with anymore, just body pieces that dissolve and slide wetly into each other. It must be horrible to look at. He knows it is, because the last thing he sees before his eyes go too is the look of terror on Yoshiki's face. Then he's big and cold and pressed against the ceiling. Without the scaffolding of a body to contain him, there are no human senses with their straightforward pains, but neither is there anything to distract Hikaru from how terrible everything inside him feels. The buzz spreads through him, making him whine. He is so cold. Across the room, Yoshiki's soul gleams, a bright, pulsing heat, so close to him, calling out to him. Hikaru turns to it, and he is empty, and he wants. He reaches out for Yoshiki, desperate to touch him, to feel him, anything, unspooling over himself and onto the bed. Yoshiki's hands are tangled up in him, shoving him back, and Hikaru is trying to explain that no, he isn't trying to eat Yoshiki this time, but to explain that he'd need to speak, and he doesn't have a way to do that anymore. All he can do is ooze across Yoshiki's body, tendrils coiled around Yoshiki's neck, his shoulders, and his mouth. Yoshiki shudders as they slide over him. Is this hurting Yoshiki? Hikaru doesn't want to hurt Yoshiki. With tremendous effort, he holds all the many parts of himself still, quaking a little from the strain. Yoshiki stops struggling beneath him and lies frozen instead, the terrified stutter of his heart shaking his body. In slow increments, Hikaru loosens his grip, sliding off Yoshiki's chest. Yoshiki heaves in a lungful of air. His hands fall back to the bed, and he lies there, shivering, breathing hard for several long moments. Then his arm moves carefully to pull something out of his pocket. It's a fragment of bone, the part of Hikaru that he ripped out to make himself weaker. Without human eyes to perceive it with, it's a dense, pulsing point in space, wriggling little threads that quest out to him, hungry to be reunited with the whole. The urge to grab it is almost overwhelming. Hikaru curls in on himself, then stretches closer to it, brushing against Yoshiki's fingers. Yoshiki offers up the bone to him, trembling, and then, finally, Hikaru understands. Yoshiki wants him to take it back so that Hikaru will be strong enough to kill him for good. He recoils, even as he wants it, even as the bone hums to him and the mass of his body hums back in response. He's been so weak without it. Imagine how good it would feel to finally be whole again, to not fear or hurt or feel pain anymore. He doesn't want to hurt Yoshiki. He doesn't. But wouldn't it be so good to finally take Yoshiki's soul? It doesn't even need to hurt. Hikaru could reach in and pluck his soul out before there's any pain at all. It would solve everything, wouldn't it, really? He could keep Yoshiki safe within him forever, freed from all the human rules and human thoughts that cause Yoshiki so much pain. They could stay together, never separated again. They wouldn't have to worry about any of this anymore. All Hikaru has to do is kill him. He wraps around Yoshiki's arm and pushes it to the side, squeezing hard until Yoshiki yelps and drops the bone. It slips through Yoshiki's fingers, clattering somewhere down onto the floor below. far enough away that Hikaru can't give in to the impulse to absorb it. As soon as it's gone, Yoshiki's body goes limp. He keeps making these soft, hiccuping sounds, shaking on the bed. He's crying? Hikaru touches Yoshiki's cheek, tastes salt and water there, even as Yoshiki flinches and turns his face away.
I know you want to,
Yoshiki hisses.
Why can't you just do it?
Hikaru whines, unable to hold still anymore, parts of him dripping down all over Yoshiki and the bed. There are too many feelings in him, and none of them make sense as words. He's sorry. He doesn't want to be the reason Yoshiki feels this way. He doesn't understand why Yoshiki can't see how wonderful he is, that none of this is his fault. The room tilts to the side, shifting around him. He has the sudden, dizzying urge to gasp for breath from lungs that don't exist. Yoshiki's arm is still tight in his grip. The bruise there is hot, much deeper than before, vibrating under Hikaru's touch. Kurebayashi said they can't mix anymore. But that was before the cave, before they blew right past whatever line it was they weren't meant to cross. A little more isn't going to make a difference. He thinks it. He wants it. And then it's easy. They're already so muddled up together that there's almost no resistance at all anymore. Just a leap. And then Hikaru is between the cells of Yoshiki's body. Yoshiki squirms underneath him, his free hand grasping feebly at Hikaru's sides. His body is a tangle of muscle and endorphins and a heart pumping fast, almost familiar now, moving around Hikaru as he flows through it. There's a moment where Yoshiki pushes back against him, frightened. Then the last boundary between them crumbles, and he is Yoshiki, and Yoshiki is him, and they are falling together, screaming. It's everything, and too much at once. Flesh hot and tired and aching, the damp stone smell of the cave, nauseous, pain in his stomach, empty, turning, the corner of the shed. What the hell is wrong with him? Before Hikaru gathers himself up out of the whirlwind to remember who and what he is. Quickly, he pulls the pieces of himself together. He's too big. He can feel Yoshiki drowning inside him. Too human to do anything but come apart within the shapeless space of Hikaru's consciousness. Hikaru grabs onto Yoshiki's struggling form, folding himself up as small as he can, and pushes them both firmly into Yoshiki's mind instead. There is structure here, words and categories and definitions, enough for Yoshiki to cling to without falling apart. He splutters like he's coming up for air, his body on the bed gasping in unison against Hikaru's shifting mass. What's happening? Yoshiki is asking over and over, flailing around. What's happening? What's... He touches Hikaru and twitches away. Are you... How? His pulse is too fast. He's going to panic. Hikaru feels it, which makes Yoshiki feel it too, which just makes Yoshiki start to panic more. This isn't good. Hikaru curls around him before it can cascade any further. In his head, and out on the bed, tendrils looped around Yoshiki's skin, around Yoshiki's startled mind, and locks him into an embrace. There are too many things that Hikaru lacks the language for, that exist only as nameless sensations inside him. He doesn't even know if the way he feels them can make sense to Yoshiki, but he tries to show them anyway. How beautiful Yoshiki is, how lovely, his soul like a fire illuminating the empty sky, so gentle and kind and alive, kind enough to let a monster like Hikaru stay with him, always taking bugs outside instead of letting people squash them. Hikaru loves the way that Yoshiki sits with his chin resting on his hand, the way he brushes his hair from his eyes and hums along to music only when he thinks no one's listening. The moments when Yoshiki smiles at him and the whole world sings. Hikaru thinks that of all the people that exist, Yoshiki must be one of the very best. A warm light calling to him, comforting, safe. A place that he can finally call home. Yoshiki has gone very still. His thoughts, when they come, are incredulous. Is this how you see me? No, not how Hikaru sees him. This is how Yoshiki is. Yoshiki cringes away. You're wrong, he says, hurting now, angry, vicious. You're lying. Even though Hikaru already promised not to lie to him, even though with them all mixed up in each other like this, Yoshiki can feel that Hikaru is telling the truth. But Yoshiki isn't listening to him anymore. Yoshiki is pulling away into the private recesses of his mind, trying to escape. Only they're so tangled up that it's dragging Hikaru along with him. Don't look at me, Yoshiki wails. I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm gross, I'm bad, I'm sick, I don't deserve to live, I'm bad. And Hikaru isn't trying to look, but it's impossible not to. Everything Yoshiki is thinking, he's thinking too. A million fragments of memories all around him, and Hikaru can see them. And he can see Yoshiki see him see them and recoil further into himself with shame. Yoshiki at the cave, in the hospital waiting room, wishing he could die. Yoshiki never looking in the mirror because he hates what he sees there. The pit of dread in Yoshiki's stomach when the boys at school ask him which girl he likes. When the grannies tell him to get married quick. When he imagines a future stuck living in the village forever. Most of it Hikaru doesn't really understand. But he understands this. The want, and hurt, and want, and hurt. Layers and layers of them painted over each other, bleeding into one another. That at the core of Yoshiki is a raw and starving loneliness, so deep that its gravity pulls everything else in. Yoshiki is sobbing in the corner of his mind. This wasn't supposed to happen. Hikaru just wanted Yoshiki to understand how good he really is. But he screwed it up again, like he always does when he's trying to figure out human emotions. Yoshiki doesn't want whatever inadequate comfort Hikaru can offer him. Why would he? If Yoshiki didn't hate him already, he definitely does now. I don't hate you. Yoshiki, faintly, no more than a whisper. And it's true? It's true. Hikaru can feel it. Yoshiki doesn't hate him. Yoshiki doesn't hate him the same way that Yoshiki doesn't hate sharks or tigers or wolves. It should be a relief. Instead, it makes Hikaru clench up even tighter, pressing himself frantically against the edges of Yoshiki's mind. Is that how Yoshiki thinks of him? A dangerous animal that can't be reasoned with, that can only be warded off or contained. Then, Hikaru really is a thing that hurts and kills, wild and uncontrollable, and he'll always hurt and kill, always, no matter what he does. I don't think that. But then why does Yoshiki always flinch away from him? That isn't... It's because Hikaru doesn't understand human feelings or the value of a life. If he did, then he wouldn't cause all this suffering. Or at least he'd be able to love Yoshiki enough that Yoshiki would finally believe it when Hikaru tells him how good a person he is. That's the problem, isn't it? If Hikaru knew what he was supposed to feel... Please stop, Yoshiki begs. But he just... I said stop. He flings himself out of Yoshiki's body. When Hikaru opens his eyes again, he's crumpled on the floor. He groans and tries to sit up, lurching heavily to one side, dizzy with a rush of sight and sound and smell. There's wet stuff dripping down his face. Is he leaking out again? No, he's just crying. Above him, Yoshiki is curled on the bed, taking these big, wheezy breaths that are horrible to listen to. Hikaru stares up at him with tears still running down his face. This is his fault, He knows that. Hurting Yoshiki when he doesn't even mean to. Again. He squeezes his eyes shut. Yoshiki, he says. Am I bad? Yoshiki doesn't speak, still gasping in air. Hikaru clenches his hands together. Cause I killed people, he says. And I don't really feel anything about that. And I've hurt you, and that girl, and a lot of other people too. That makes me bad, right? That's not... Yoshiki shifts on the bed, still breathless. After a couple more seconds of wheezing, he gets out weakly. You're not bad. You're just what you are. But it would be better if I wasn't. The realization comes to him, sharp, new, sliding into Hikaru's guts. His eyes snap open. It would, he says. Then you wouldn't have to suffer so much just by being around me. You'd be happier. If I didn't hurt people, or if I understood how humans feel things, or if I liked you the right way, or if... Yoshiki's voice cracks. That's not how it works. His mouth shuts. Oh. It's quiet for a while. Quiet enough for the muffled conversation downstairs to drift through the floor. The sounds of voices in a TV show, audience laughter. Yoshiki says, You don't gotta think stuff like that about yourself. But you think it about yourself. I saw. Yoshiki falls still. The blankets rustle as he lifts his arms to cover his face. Fuck, he whispers through his hands. I guess we're both really kind of fucked up, huh? Hikaru sniffs and wipes his eyes. Something cold is wedged underneath his leg. He picks it up and rolls it in his palm. It's the bone from his chest, still lying on the floor where it fell from the bed. To his human body, it is inert, no longer humming to him, just a fragment of a thing, smooth against the skin. Slowly, he gets up to his feet. Yoshiki's eyes follow him silently as he sets the bone down on the drawer beside Yoshiki's bed. Hikaru doesn't look at him. He says, I'll leave you alone. He turns to go, but before he can take a step, Yoshiki's hand shoots out and grabs his wrist. Hikaru jumps and twists around to meet Yoshiki's gaze. There's a desperation in Yoshiki's face. He stares up at Hikaru, eyes wide, gripping Hikaru's arm. Hikaru doesn't exactly understand, but there's something familiar in it anyway. All that loneliness in Yoshiki, and all the emptiness in himself. Not the same, but similar, maybe. Two bottomless holes swallowing everything up. And Hikaru can't fix it. He isn't big enough to fill up all that lonely space. He can't undo the things he's done, or be the real Hikaru, not really. But Yoshiki is still holding on to him, not letting go. That feels important. That feels like it means something. He stops trying to pull away. Yoshiki doesn't let go of him. His hand is warm and sweaty, tight on Hikaru's wrist. Hikaru swallows, stepping closer, waiting for Yoshiki to push him back. When it doesn't happen, he holds his breath and climbs into the bed. Yoshiki lies motionless, watching him, as Hikaru shimmies under the blanket, their knees knocking together. Neither of them speaks. The only sound Yoshiki makes is the small noise somewhere deep in his throat, as Hikaru reaches out and pulls Yoshiki's head to his chest. He's hardly ever gotten to hold Yoshiki before, and never like this. Yoshiki warm and curled against him, muscles loose, not tensed like he wants to run away. It's so good that Hikaru closes his eyes, trying to imprint the memory inside him so he'll always remember what it's like. And then Yoshiki's arms loop around his waist, hugging him back. His insides flood with heat. Hikaru gasps and hugs Yoshiki to him even tighter, his fingers in Yoshiki's hair. Yoshiki is shaking like he's going to cry again. Hikaru doesn't know what to do about that, so he just cradles him close as their bodies will allow, their stomachs pressed together, his leg pinned between Yoshiki's knees. Yoshiki clings to him, his breath warm on Hikaru's neck, and that's so good, really, it is. That's better than just about anything Hikaru has ever known. He stays like that, holding Yoshiki to him, careful not to move in case the moment breaks. Somewhere in the house, a door closes. The TV turns off downstairs. Gradually, Yoshiki's shaking stops. He still doesn't release Hikaru or try to move away. In the quiet that settles across the room, Hikaru can feel them both listening to each other, the dual rhythm of their heartbeats, a sudden, vivid awareness of Yoshiki's soul nestled against him. "I like that you're the way you are," Yoshiki whispers. Hikaru blinks, his face going warm.
"You do?"
The idea is so absurd that he almost can't believe it. He looks at the top of Yoshiki's head, a strange sensation shifting around in his guts.
"And I'm glad you don't understand these human things."
Yoshiki exhales softly.
"Means you don't have to carry all this stuff around."
Hikaru rolls this around in his head for a bit, then gives him a sad half-smile.
"I'm not really sure what you mean."
Yoshiki huffs, not quite a laugh.
"I know."
He rests his forehead against Hikaru's cheek. There's a flutter in Hikaru's ribs, that sense of being needed that compelled him back through the hole, only this time it isn't a wish tethering him, but Yoshiki's hands clutching the back of his shirt. He closes his eyes and imagines wrapping himself around Yoshiki's soul. Not to eat, just to hold. Just to say all the stuff he doesn't have words for.
"Okay," he murmurs.
"I'm glad you're the way you are, too." He hugs Yoshiki again, leaning into him, that thrum of life inside him so steady and strong. It's so nice being held like this. Yoshiki's arms circling him, and Yoshiki's head pressed to his. It makes him feel kind of warm, like Hikaru isn't just a killing thing, but also a thing that holds and comforts and loves and is loved. Maybe not in a human way, but in his own way. The darkness is soft and quiet around them. He squeezes the back of Yoshiki's neck, even though he isn't in Yoshiki's head anymore, he's pretty sure Yoshiki understands. Both of them, hungry, lonely creatures, maybe never able to be entirely filled. But Yoshiki wants him here, and that's plenty for Hikaru. So really, he thinks, it's something close enough. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. And if you've enjoyed this Podfic, you're welcome to leave me feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.